motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second, all those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Public comment?
You made a move.
Missed you last week, but I got our messages missing.
Yes. That's awful sweet. I've been on the road in the witness protection program. A motion to approve the minutes of the September 10th meeting?
So moved.
I'll second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Chief Financial Officer, we have information on page 10.
You want to do CEO report first?
Did I jump over that? Yes, I did. Sorry. CEO.
Nothing to report at the time.
It was blank, so I assumed that was the case.
You read that one right.
Chief CFO report.
All right. So I guess we'll have to change that since we did title change. So we'll work on that for next month. So the Las Palmas Medical Plaza. So right now we approved the new lease agreement with Cohen Mush. They're in the process of moving from currently located through West 101. They're going to start tenant improvements in the two suites that they're moving into in the One West building. We do have interested party in the suite that they are vacating. And then we also have we just received a proposal for suite 2W107. So we're in the process of negotiating that a little bit. We'll be bringing that to the November, probably both of those to the November finance committee. So hopefully we'll be down to one suite, hopefully.
So I'm looking at page 10. Yeah. And maybe it's on the previous page. And I'm just kind of going to go, oh, I kind of wonder what our rents averages are and whatever. Okay, so it's about 52.
Right.
Correct. Okay.
And we are receiving, one of the interesting things that Steve and I were just talking about is since we have the outside broker that's marketing the suites, it appears that he's trying to drive up the
that's good
base rent,
yeah,
which is good because obviously it means better commission for him. So
there was a time when we were kind of we just wanted to keep doctors happy and get them close and blah 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 blah, but I think making more money is always a good idea,
right?
Just personally.
Yeah, so good. Anyway, it's looking pretty well.
Yeah, anything. These are incredible occupancy rates. So proximity to the hospital is quite good. All right, great. Any questions? Financial reports. I'm just going to stumble through them unless there's something you want to draw to our attention. Some fantastic variance or...
Yeah, I think we're ahead of... Had a budget right now. Part of that is due to grants that we have not awarded, based on our allocation of budget to date. And we are under budget in our direct expenses, mostly due to our staffing structure that we've adjusted to.
Great. Do you have any questions? Otherwise, I'm moving forward. And that's it. And then the healthcare district.
I do have a question. You mentioned that staffing its costs are low, but staffing costs were low for last fiscal year. Now that we're in the new fiscal year, we're not.
What we budgeted for, though, was potentially replacing the COO.
Oh, okay.
So we have not done that, so that's a significant savings on the budget.
So we'll continue to see it being
low. So we'll see that, yeah, okay, throughout the year. So.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good move to kind of rethink that. I mean, looks like we got the right people, things are working, and I applaud a budget cut every now and then.
Absolutely.
What it's for.
Right.
Good.
We'll probably make up for it in other areas.
I'm sure there'll be some worthwhile cause for some grantee or something, or some opportunity. Property tax is a 9.25.
So we're under there, having received, but I'm sure we'll be getting some of that lag in October. But we're not going down, so it's just a time issue.
Got it. That was what I flagged. Deposits, check registers are a favorite. Batista voided her check. Nice. We appreciate that.
We needed the money.
Took one for the team.
So let's entertain a motion to approve the financial reports.
So moved.
I'll second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Mr. Hartsack, welcome.
You're right. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. As written down in the agenda, my name is Craig Hartsack. I'm a partner with the firm Moss, Levy & Hartsack, and I'm the engagement partner on this audit. Just to give some of you new folks some indication of what we do, we came out here in May and did some preliminary work for a few days. There were three auditors out here. We go through your controls, we go through a lot of the source documents. Then once Chris closes the books, by the end of July, we're out here early August doing our final wrap-up of field work. And one of the reasons it takes a little time to get from that point to this day is we have to wait on certain information on the foundation. That always seems to be a little late in coming. But we got it timely done, thanks to Chris and his staff and everybody involved. And you've got three audit reports. And I mean, is this a session that I can go through all the reports, foundation
yes,
and
please.
The district?
Yeah. Okay. Even though we got the foundation reports on the foundation agenda,
yeah,
we'd like to present them all.
Yeah, there's the foundation is also included within the district as a private purpose trust fund, but we do have a separate audit report that's given. Just to let you know, on all three audits, the district, the foundation, and the pension plan, we issued unmodified opinions, which is what you strive for in your audits, meaning we didn't find anything that would present an issue with the numbers and the disclosures that are within the financial statements. So that's a clean opinion. I'm just gonna quote someone. I was just at an audit committee meeting a couple months ago or a month or so ago, and one of the council members of the city says, what's the word I always wanna hear when I interview you guys? Boring. So that's the way it is. It's very boring, not much going on. Everything's clean to the best of our knowledge. There are some reports that, did you get, Chris, the management letter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, those guys.
She didn't give it to me, but are they in your packet? Are they in your agenda packet?
Yeah, it's actually.
There is a management letter that talks about how we conducted our audit under government auditing standards because you are a government agency. That puts a little bit more details into what we have to do, and there's also some restrictions as far as our independence goes with your audit. And when we perform a non-attest service, meaning we're not attesting to it like an audit, we write up the financial statements or assist Chris in writing up the financial statements, and as such, under government auditing standards, it could be an independence issue unless there's people within the district that review it and are knowledgeable of what it is, the numbers, the disclosures. So when we do it, we have to give it over to Chris, and he has to review it and sign off on it. And that then makes it so we are independent, which is one of the big issues with doing auditing nowadays. As far as financial highlights, I guess a couple of items in the district. Not much going on in the foundation. You know, you receive money as grants. You dole out money in grants, and you allocate some overhead costs for running the foundation. But as far as the district is concerned, I think the best thing to do for everybody is read pages 3 through 7, which is management's discussion and analysis, which is an internal synopsis of the financial statements. And it gives you a good indication of, it compares numbers from last year to this year and gives you an explanation of why they occurred. It also gives just summary of some of the financials. And it's really easy to read. It's meant more for the normal person reading it, not a CPA or an auditor or someone that has a big accounting or audit background.
And that would be page 48.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Other than that, the district did a good job in holding down expenses over general expenses. Excuse me. You cut general expenses from $1,000,002 to about $560,000. I think the bulk of that is described in the MD&A was because you didn't have all the professional fees that you incurred prior year, I think, for the district expansion. Right, so I mean, everything else is good. There's the election fees this year that we didn't have last year, but you still had a bottom line increase in net position of $4.2 million, which is excellent. I think the other item that, just for your knowledge, with the pension, you had an actuarial report done, and you'll see that maybe pension expense went up a little bit, and the bulk of that is because the pension, there's a note in here about pensions, and there was a change in assumptions that brought the discount rate down, which means you don't think you're going to earn as much as they did last year. So that, you know, cuts down and increases your net pension and liability by a little. I think it went up by $200,000 or $300,000.
Yeah, about $117,000.
Okay.
And part of that too is, I mean, we were expecting, and I've been kind of communicating that we anticipated the net pension liability to decrease because we've been paying out as participants have left employment in the hospital. So there has been a significant reduction in the actual principal balance, but because of the discount rate that Craig was talking about, it triggers in and it creates an actual increase to the pension liability. And one thing to keep in mind is that this is based on the assumption that all participants would be doing an annuity, living an expected life of 80, 90, 100 years old, where in reality, when the participant leaves employment, they typically take a lump sum distribution. So they'll either roll it over to an IRA or take a distribution. And so that, in theory, then reduces that net pension liability, but requirements require us to do it based on the life expectancy of each participant.
Yeah, there also was a reduction in 15% of the number of participants.
Right.
So we see that number decreasing.
Well, year over year it was 15.
Yeah. 15%, wow. about 30, 34 to be exact. And just to touch base on what Director Matthews was saying before about the rents, on page 31 of the financial statements,
76
of the packet, it shows you the lease and CAM charges that are due based on leases that are in force right now. So you can see where the lease revenue is going, the trend of either increasing or decreasing.
The reason it's decreasing is that we'll have renewals that will, you know, come into place that will figure into the 23 and 24 years as those leases renew.
And since we're talking about leases, I just wanted to throw this out. And I know, I think one of the things you're going to talk about today is going out for an RFP for audit in upcoming years. There is a new GASB statement coming out that I think takes place in implementation years 2021, which requires you to capitalize all these leases. You have to go through, and it's a big ordeal. There's a lot of work involved, and there's so much work in private companies, non-public private companies. They've actually pushed back the implementation date a year because there wasn't enough good software out there to do these calculations. So you'll have an asset on the books, and you'll have a liability on the books. And it depends, and you'll write some of it off as interest, some of it off as lease, and it's a whole big thing. So I don't know if we'll be around to help you with that, or the new audit firm will help you.
That's for everybody that owns
everybody that has
property and rents it?
And has either a review financials. I mean, you have to have an audit or a review financials.
Yeah.
It's either renting it out or renting it. So if you have lease expense, you put it on the books. And if you have lease income, you put on the books. Either lessor or lessee, doesn't matter. I think the other thing is the management report. I just want to let you know that there were no findings in there. Now, some people that are new to this presentation, over the years, we've always said that the one finding that never makes its way in you because you already know about it is the fact that you only have a few people in the accounting department. And last year, I know, I think the CEO was gone. We were happy to see there's a new CEO on board that does some oversight, makes us feel better. The more people that are involved in the whole process, the better. So I just always like to bring that up to the finance committee that there's always going to be that issue that you only have a few people in the accounting department and want to make sure that there's enough oversight. I know I watched Director Matthews sign checks and look at them today and ask about them, so that makes us happy too that everybody's looking at it. Other than that, that precludes my, or concludes my presentation.
I got a couple of, I want to catch a couple of comments on what's our page 52, year page 7. And this is a beating a dead horse. We expanded the service area, more than doubled the population, didn't include any funding. And our district will be seeking resources to fund access to programs and services and grants to residents in the expanded area. Well, are we? We're talking about it.
Now, again, this is management's discussion analysis, which is not audited by us.
No, I got you.
Okay. So these are.
I mean, that's the theory that we will be
operating
to do.
Okay.
Yes.
So we've got a reserve fund of $58 million for seismic, and I'm not seeing the reserve fund in the financial statements of 58 right next to it.
It's broken out into current. There's cash, there's a current investment, and there's total.
So
if you were to look at page 8, page 53, so go to the next page.
I'm right there.
All right, so in cash and cash equivalents,
12.
There's about 12 million or 10 million of that is
13
part of our
investments.
So there's 10 in there, the 13, so that's 23, and then you got 35 under the non-current assets.
25 non-current, 30, got it.
So that gives you the 50.
What's the, okay, hold on. Non-current investments 34, what is that?
So it's those that are beyond a year, typically. So non-current assets are investments that are beyond a year. So like we do typically 5-year bonds in that. So they're broken down into what would be, so like the $13 million and the cash and cash equivalents are current assets because they're accessible to us really within a year.
So these are investments that we don't readily have access to, or access to.
Correct. The cash and cash equivalents.
Well, you have access to it. It's just they mature.
Right. Because
it's selling.
Right. We aren't going to be spending currently, so we bought a 5-year note or whatever we bought.
So yeah, so we can get access to it any time. It's just whether with a maturity date part of it. So
current capital. The $11,972,000 in capital assets nets, just for the benefit of all of us, what's that?
The bulk of that is the medical problem.
Okay. That's a nice asset. Good old medical plaza. Okay, great. Thank you.
I know we get a healthy amount of investment revenue from our $34 million fund. Where is that again?
The revenue part of it? If you go to page 9, the middle of the page. I'm sorry, page 54, forgive me.
Yeah, the small number is the number on the...
Under the non-operating income expense, the $2.2 million. Under it says investment income.
Oh, okay, there you go, okay.
Yeah.
Lost it. Thank you.
Good. So you're sitting on $5 million more than you were last year.
Correct.
Yep.
That's pretty healthy. Mostly change in market stuff.
Some of that is, yes, definitely.
Yes.
And some expense.
Great. And just your operating, though, your income from operations, which is on the statement page 9, is $2.1 million.
Makes up the non-operating
income? I think it's page 54.
Non-operating income is mostly investment income.
Gotcha. Okay. That's where it's looking. Great. Any other questions?
Do we anticipate having election fees this year? Or is that for next year?
Next year.
It's always for early. Okay.
2020.
So you, what else?
How about
Mark Matthew.
No.
Is it
2020? Yeah. So when you were talking about budget.
Yes, sir.
And at the beginning of the year, you budgeted for specific positions. Do you ever come mid-year and change that at all? Do you do mid-year adjustment?
We don't adjust our budget. We haven't gone in and said, hey, we're 6 months into it, and we didn't hire this position, so let's adjust our budget.
Right.
Because it's just, we're not that, I think we like the positive variance a lot. I mean, that's...
Well, you don't want a placebo like that.
If I was sitting here, I would like the positive variances. And in terms of its reflection on our planning and to the public, that we're frugal with our expenses. And I think if it was a private concern, we might do that and go, hey, everybody, you know, we're $400,000 less, and so let's cut $400,000 out of the next two quarters. Do you think we should consider doing something different?
Most larger entities do that, and if you look, you'd like to check and see reality, is what I'm saying, with the budget. And that's the only reason I bring it up, is that it gives you a better idea of how things are running if you change that budget number. Going forward. Just doing like
I'm sorry. I missed a little bit.
Yeah, you're getting hosed here. Let me work, help you here. Yeah. So at the midterm, say 6 months in, should we be adjusting a budget number for having, say, positive variances? The question is, what are other public agencies doing? For us, I view it as part of our success has been plan for real, plan for whatever, but if you don't need to fill something, don't. Or if, you know, if there is dynamic change in a particular year, you know, we had a CEO vacancy, then hired a CEO, and that, you know, we could have gone and changed the numbers.
Right.
And candidly, I suspect, and maybe I'm, you push back and tell me if we're wrong. There's enough going on getting the books done and the accounting done and whatever to go back and say, hey, I think we ought to change the budget in 6 months. And I think the variance is coming forward and we know what's going on. But if you think that's wrong.
I just hate to see a false sense of reality because the first 6 months is different because you cut out a position. Wouldn't you like to see closer numbers to see how you're actually doing based on what you anticipate doing? I mean, at the beginning of the year, it's all well and good, but you didn't rehire a COO. So my position would be, you know, do a budget adjustment. I mean, you could have a spreadsheet that actually shows what that budget adjustment is to explain why it was being done.
That's a worthwhile recommendation, which I took off a punt to the CEO and the CFO, and wish you guys react for us at some future meeting, and we might even drag you in for a phone call. I mean, I don't think it's a necessarily, I think part of your job is to go, hey, best practice might be this.
Correct.
And perhaps over so many years of doing this here, because I've seen negative variances too, and we act much more rapidly than positive variances. And let's take it under advisement and then react.
Well, like you said, part of my job
absolutely
is doing analytics.
Push us.
So we compare this year to last year and to budget. So if I see this big variance in budget, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Say, well, we didn't rehire a COO. I say, if you would have removed that, what would the variance be?
Gotcha.
From an audience point of view.
Fair.
And if it's way negative, we're like, wait a minute, why?
Yeah.
I think that's something that management kind of has uses it as a tool to be able to think of something that they had thought about doing that they hadn't, that they now have some funding if they see that. So I'm not sure if we're taking away that flexibility from management, but I actually think it's a good idea to be able to have a realistic budget. But, you know, the other side being, you know, a takeaway. But one idea that I want to just put forth for consideration, as we're looking at that statement earlier in the report about that because of our new expansion area that we're looking for potential revenue. Well, I think that in order to do that, we're probably going to need a good grant writer. And that's something that we should consider if we do have the variance to consider finding somebody that's good that we can bring on so that we actually make a concerted effort to do that.
Yes. Actually, if we could find someone who could do development more than just grant writing would be fantastic.
Well, the kind of grants that I'm thinking are going to be big
state,
grants,
state, federal
grants, that big foundations that are looking at investing $10 million, $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that that is going to require somebody that we have.
Yeah, that's an
excellent experience with that. Yeah.
Good. Well, two good things. So that's the district. We kind of got to. How do you want to handle foundation and RPP? Just kind of, are we done? Do you want to go back?
I mean, I think would be, you know, maybe we would recommend forwarding to the board for acceptance of the district and the RPP, and then you could do the same under the foundation when we get there.
Okay.
So on the RP,
we should ask our questions now on the foundation.
I would, yes.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, that's what I thought. Do you have any?
Well, on the foundation?
There's two remaining.
Oh, okay.
The RPP and the foundation. If we get the questions out of the way, we pay less for the auditor to hang out.
So the RFP.
It's included in a fixed price.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good try.
Okay, this audit time?
This is actually the sixth year.
Sixth year.
We got an extension since we were your CEO.
Okay.
I don't on that. Let me grab the district RPP. What's our current shortfall? I saw it a minute ago. To the actuarial table.
Here it's all 3.9.
On page 6. Is that it there? I'm on the RPP.
The RPP. Yes, it's 3.395 million. Mm-hmm. Top of page 6 of the report. And all these numbers come directly from U.S. Bank.
Yeah,
that's where we get our trial balance. We go through, just to give you a brief history of what we do there, we actually get what they call a service auditor's report, meaning we get a report from their audit, U.S. Bank's auditors, that talk about their internal control, because we want to make sure that their internal control is sound, too. And then that you have complementing controls here that, you know, that make us, give us that warm, fuzzy feeling that things are being handled properly, there's enough paperwork and enough authorizations and sign-offs, that nothing's walking out the back door.
So nobody's stealing any money, but if you go to the last sentence on page 6 under contributions, are you suggesting we should roll $366,000 as of June 30, 2019?
That's
288. That's what we did.
That's what the actuary.
What do you
says. Think? Well, I think I'm not an actuary.
I know, but we have an actuary.
Well, and we've talked about this.
I know, I'm just asking the same question. We did move quite a bit of money one
time. Well, we did. Yeah. What we did was we moved the money over to cover the principal amounts of the investments that are there for all participants. Because the idea is when they leave, they take that with a little bit of interest.
Right.
And they're not getting, you know, that annuity type payment that's, you know,
it's almost 30
years out. So that's what we did. We put enough money in there to cover that. This is just the net present value of several years of payments. And we have to record that as a liability. But I mean,
And I'm not sure how many years that 366 covers. You know, if you make that every year, it's going to be over the life expectancy of all 183 people paid out at what their benefit is now due payable over their life expectancy. So hard for me to tell you if that's the right amount or not.
Well, we made a pretty substantial move several years ago.
$3.4
million. Yeah. And just, which was sort of a comfort level about the district's about to expand and guys knows what's going to happen with the money. Let's not stick it to the employees that were. It's shocking to me how long people have participated in this.
Right. That's what we were just talking about before the meeting started.
30, 40 years.
Every month I keep thinking that there's going to be more people retiring or leaving than that.
Yeah.
But I guess they're happy there and they continue to work. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So so it's kind of, you feel pretty good about this and comfortable?
I would recommend leaving or not doing more contribution.
All right. You understand what he's doing? Okay. Great.
Yeah, I would imagine that if you had a mass exodus of employees over there, the district might have to come up with.
We've done everything we can to try and get them to leave, and they seem to want to stay.
No, I understand that. You're saying you got $5 million, technically. But I'm telling you, there was a mass exodus out of here. But I guess it wouldn't, because right now the pension is $3.4 million, so you have enough to cover that. If everybody left the plan right now, you could pay everybody off with what's in there.
Right, right. And that's been the purpose of it. Yeah. Put the money in as if the world stopped today.
That's sort of
pay
what we
all
did
the participants.
In the discussion around the expansion. It was like, hey, we can't leave these people high.
Right. Money.
It's better to have extra money at the end than to short someone along the way.
And at that point, wasn't the pension liability like $8 or $9 million?
Yeah,
no, it was high then.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Well,
I remember.
Still is $8 million total.
Yeah, but now you have the $5 million
in the account. Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it was the opposite. Right.
Yeah, before you only had like $1.9 million, if
right.
I remember.
Right. Right. Yeah, a couple of million in the bank.
All right. Well, you're watching it. That's good. All right.
So, and to that, what we were just talking about, so we have $4.9 million in the bank, but the principal balances of all the participants is $4.2 million. So we're in excess of, if everybody were to be paid out today, we would have enough funds in that account to pay them off.
Yeah. Good.
We are with the reports.
Anybody have any further questions on the audit reports?
So committee's recommending to forward to the board.
Okay, so a motion to forward to the board. Okay.
Yes.
That's one second. All those in favor, aye. There you go.
Do you want Craig to stick around for the audit firm RFP or not?
You don't have to. It's up to you. It's a public meeting.
Do you need any input from me?
No. I mean, I think we're fine. I suspect you still want to do it, but we got to figure out when. How long is too long?
And what we had talked about was if they were successful being awarded going forward, that they would implement another audit team, so there'd be another audit manager.
And the state controller does that with for school districts. It's been probably 10 years. For cities, they just implemented 14. They want rotation every 6 years. They're okay with the same firm as long as it's a different manager and different partner.
Got it. Good.
And we can provide that for you if you include us in this.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Okay, audit firm. So for bid.
Yeah, so what we've presented here is a draft of the actual RFP letter that would go out to the audit firms, and we have presented a list of CPA firms on page 108 that would be recipients of the RFP. And one of these, CPA firm number 2, London Guthrie, they were our former auditors, so I'm sure they would like to provide a bid.
How long will be your auditor?
Forever and ever. For, I don't know. Several years.
We did one year where we went to number 5 and it didn't go well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that they did ours.
There's been so much turnover there.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we can,
so that's
can
a good
stretch them from the list.
People change, organizations change, and it's board members change and memories change. And I do know we had a misadventure there a long time ago. But hey, Lenny, among you, who's not had a misadventure, cast the first stone. Good. I think that's a fine list. Okay. So do you guys take any action?
If you would, please.
Oh. I move approval or move recommendation.
On that list. And I'll second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. LPMP lease renewals. LabCorp.
Okay, so I think most of us know LabCorp has been over at the Medical Plaza for years and years. And we've been on a month-to-month basis for probably the last 2 years. We've been trying to get them into a new lease. They kind of go cold on us for a while. I mean, they're not going anywhere. They just kind of go cold. I'm sure they're working on other areas. But we have finally come to a lease term of 3 years, base rent $1.55 a foot, and offering $20 a square foot for TI allowance. And otherwise, it's our standard lease agreement. Recommend approval.
Any questions or a motion?
Recommendation.
I'll second it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Political consultant.
Let's do number 4.
Oops. Lost on us. Right. We jumped right over.
That's all right. It's okay. So we've installed
the political subconsultant is far more interesting.
I'm sure. So this one will be
true.
Very
brief. That was the one I was reading.
Move on. So we've installed all the infrastructure, the piping, everything for the water system at the Medical Plaza. We're required now to have a monitoring service for the fire sprinkler alarm. And so we have an alarm company that has provided a proposal. One option is to install in one building and then run conduit This is on the west side now where we have three buildings. So install one unit, run conduit, and then there's some peripheral equipment, etc., that would need to go on the additional building. And then there's the other option to do installation of two separate monitoring equipment. To me, the costs are relatively the same for installation. We would be saving $175 a month on the monitoring fee if we go with the one installation. And Chris Mills says he believes that's the better route to go anyway. So that would be staff's recommendation, is to do the option one.
Good. Do you have any objection?
Nope.
Is that a motion?
I move approval.
Now, second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Good. Now, these transaction stuff. 137.
So, after Tenet submitted a proposal to purchase VIMC, the board requested that staff hire a political consultant to help guide the board on the challenging political waters of presenting this type of transaction to the public. It has subsequently been emphasized by the board the need to have talking points and to have some political guidance on what we can say, what should we say. Therefore, we have received proposals from different agencies. We believe that the most comfortable and competent that we received was from a company called Strategy 360. We had a conversation with our legal counsel to ensure that the proposal that is going to be presented is going to be kosher, and the activities are going to be in compliance with all laws and regulations regarding desert regarding healthcare districts. So their proposal includes two phases. One is feasibility, which includes providing advice to the board on a retainer basis, and also to that will include having polling to understand what is the political temperature of the public regarding the sale of the hospital, and they will also advise the board on talking points, what to say, how to present this information, the design and outreach and education plan for elected officials. And on a second phase, if and when the plans with Tenet become official, then we would have to decide whether we want to engage in a second phase, which will include an educational program, outreach, and other activities related to the sale of the hospital. So the proposal is to approve up to $70,000 for an initial phase, which will provide the board some reassurances on how to communicate with the public the proposal to complete this transaction with Tenet.
Does the cost that's indicated here, does this include all of the other additional costs like travel and mileage and meetings and translation? Does it include everything? It really is NTE, or is it not?
I think we should do an NTE, 70,000.
But we do need to confirm,
because
oftentimes, you know, there's the external expenses like the travel and that, the customary expenses of. So we'll need to confirm that, but I think in total we should do an NTE.
So I think I don't have any huge issue here, but mostly after our last meeting with Tenet, when we had not the public, but was that private? Who's the lead negotiator? The guy that was here?
Our guy?
Yeah.
Mike Maloney?
Mike Maloney, yeah. I kind of walked away with the feeling that I was like, you know, we might want to wait till after this 2020 election. Now, I perhaps misread that, and I still think it would be valuable, certainly to explain to people what we're talking about, especially for those of us who might be up for election in 2020. So it's a little self-serving. That's mostly a comment. I mean, I think we need to start getting our hands around what the public thinks and what messages we need to deliver, because I'm not wholly impressed with the ones I've certainly tried to deliver. They've got to be better than what I'm saying. As these negotiations, you know, progress, I mean, I ultimately believe at the end of the day, you know, we're going to have some kind of deal with tenant. It'll be valuable for the community, the entire community. I just don't know how or when or how long.
And it comes in ebbs and flows.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
But what triggers them to actually start doing work?
So they will start doing work with us ASAP, because the relevance of having talking points on how we should communicate and control the narrative when we communicate to the public, it's an immediate need.
Okay.
Do we have like an agreement?
So that will come after we approve having.
Got it.
I think
we definitely ought to get the agreement, and I don't want to, again, I don't want to interfere with the process.
Yes. And Jeff will guide that process of having an agreement with them.
Okay.
So in theory, we would bring the agreement to the board meeting if this is approved.
I mean, I definitely, don't get me wrong, I think we need this. One, I don't want to cross a line.
Mm-hmm.
One. And two, just as a board member, I mean, yeah, I get questions all the time. I'm there and I can't tell you what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that having a political consultant to us is very valuable.
No,
even beyond the tenant issue. We have other pressing matters that I believe would benefit us to have that type of service.
At this point, you said you have several possibilities that have come forward or come to your, attention. Are some of those a combination of local and out of the area, or?
I believe they're not
all. All out of the area.
They're all out of the area, yeah.
And they're more specialized with, you know, political consulting environment, so.
A public entity.
I don't know if there's that here in our,
in
our community.
I can see, again, this is territory I don't operate in very much. Advantages of having someone outside versus the known people. All our neighbors that we know, we know exactly what they're going to say and do within reason. That our political consultants in the Coachella Valley.
Well, I could see a little bit of reasoning why we should go local, but I'm just kind of surprised that you haven't had any. But if it's a specialized field, then that would explain it. But that's why I was wondering if there was a 3, 4 or you know whatever number, but there was actually some that were local, whether at that point the board's input could be, is there a preference to go local, what you gain by having a consultant that's already familiar with the lay of the land and landscape of it. So, but if there isn't, and if you think that it is a very specific kind of skill that they need, then that kind of takes us out of it, and you pretty much have to.
So phase one is really the feasibility of a ballot initiative.
And the education to the board and
what
to say, how to say it.
I think the board could use some education on this particular subject, at least this board member, because I'm a little lost in the process here on what steps come first and whatever. And I don't mean that in a, but it, you know, I think we need some political guidance that would be helpful. That's my
definitely think we will benefit from it. I was just kind of uncertain whether the local knowledge was something that we would lose by going outside, but I guess what you're saying is that this the skill set is very specific and we don't have it.
It seems that it's very specialized.
And you really kind of get another bite at it if you go to phase two.
Yeah.
You might be able to are we happy with the way it's it frankly may cost more money to engage locals as well, but I think phase one provides the information what you do for phase two, which is where I'm really confused.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, can since we're at this point where we're a decision hasn't been made, can you just include some of the local firms? And I don't know who they are, but I'm sure there might be some that maybe they wouldn't fare well in comparison, but I would rather have that comparison happen now than later. If you could, maybe they rate a 10 instead of a 50, I don't know, but I just would rather have that comparison now rather than not having had that consideration. So I don't know where you would get that kind of a list, but Mark, do you know?
Oh God, no.
Like
I'd call the usual suspects.
The O'Reilly,
I
don't know if they have that kind of a...
I mean, there's a couple that I'm kind of thinking of that we can talk about that might be kind of in the realm of communications wise, but...
Let's do this. I really think we need to send this to the board and you say there, because I think everybody needs to kind of weigh in on where they're at on this. I mean, here's two of us that are... I think we need this. Certainly phase one and what's going on. And I don't really care who does it. We need some help. And as long as they're competent in this sort of field. They may be the local political manager of pick your favorite elected official.
That's all I want. I wanted to move to the board by the next meeting. But if we could just add a couple of other firms that are local. And again, I don't know if they will actually compare well, but I would just rather that they be considered now than later. But I do want it to move forward.
Sure.
Yeah. So our action then would be to forward this to the board.
Yes.
I think I read it in here.
So should we, let me clarify this direction. Should we bring contract for consideration to the board at the next board meeting?
And do you want proposals by these other organizations?
It's sounding to me like you got a specific.
So we have three proposals.
Yeah.
We have one.
You have three proposals.
We have three proposals. We have one that's ready to go.
Okay.
Was vetted by our legal counsel.
Oh, okay. That's a good sign. That's good information.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the question is do we just bring that?
So do we take a step back and say, okay, we have this, but now bring me more proposals?
No, I would do this. And the three are none of them are local.
None of them are local.
So step back for a second. By the way, I didn't realize now, perhaps I didn't read it, that there were three.
Yeah.
So that's good. And you're kind of settled on this. In the first round, you're settled on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you're asking is, can we ask a couple of locals to see whether they make the cut or not? And then when you go to the board, you're now going to have, we've actually talked to five.
Yeah.
And two of them are qualified, or one of them is qualified, and we recommend that. Again, I don't want to slow it down because I think we need it. I think your point is there's some local folks that maybe just for pure politics need to be asked. Maybe just there might be a perspective we don't understand.
Yes.
And then we would bring...
Here's the list of the
five.
Here's the one or two.
And here's the one that's recommended.
Yeah, here's the recommendation. And again, I think, as two people of a seven-member board, that gives you the broadest gunshot, shotgun. But who knows what's going to happen. I mean, I have no idea what the board's going to have.
I can only just try to anticipate what they would ask, and I know if I was there, I would ask if was there any local
right.
person.
Which
they're
perfectly
And
good.
So then if you say no, we actually did put the feelers out there and nobody responded or else they didn't compare, then that would address my question. Mm-hmm.
So is it okay if our direction is to take this information bring it to the board? Is that good enough?
Yep. So forward to the board the political consultant's proposals, including the local firm or more than one local firm for potential hospital.
Yeah, if there are local firms willing to, that are capable and willing to participate. I mean, I think.
And wanting to see all proposals or just the
list? Yeah, I don't want your recommendation. Personally, I want your recommendation. I wouldn't even know what to look for.
Yeah, so staff will bring the recommendation to the board.
Yeah. There are probably board members who would be very interested in that. I'm not one of them. I'm sort of very happy that this is staff driven. Mm-hmm. And the farther I am away from it, probably the better. And I think there's, candidly, I think there's expertise you bring that I don't have. And I don't want to be in this. I want to get into the board and see what happens. I'm with you. And I think it's something we definitely need to move on. And just because the clock is ticking.
This is such a delicate
yes.
subject that, you know, even inviting local entities that it may open a kind of warm. Because there are so many political interests in whether this transaction goes through or not. And many people that are expressing their unfavorable opinion to this type of transaction. It's my...
So having a non-local entity doing this, the pros would be that they know what they're doing. That they know the process, they treat it very descriptively.
And they also wouldn't have a preconceived...
They wouldn't have a preconceived notion
yeah.
of what the politics of the local entities are. They come from a different point of view. They have the expertise of providing political advice to public entities, which is, as you know, a different animal. In itself because of all the regulatory compliance issues that we need to face. And they wouldn't have any background in terms of who they work with, what someone can influence or opine about whether this is a good or a bad transaction.
But they also wouldn't know about some of the potential hot potatoes that might be some obstacles, some grenades out there that are ready to explode. And I'm just wondering if I know you have the expertise, but maybe there's a local entity that has that expertise that I don't know. Maybe it is a specialized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning towards what Mark is saying is that we hired you for a reason, that you have your expertise in this, and I guess I'm wondering whether
I don't want to step. I just kind of want to tap the brake and give it to the board. I don't want us to go here. We're unanimous. It's all flew through by everything. Because and what these are. I mean, I don't think we view it the same way. I mean, I'm going,
yeah.
Hey, we need all this help we can get here, going, hey, we better check locally.
Yeah, to me, I
and that's a legitimate.
Yeah, and I think it's a legitimate concern, and we will bring it to you.
To me.
We will do our homework and try to connect with local firms to find the qualifications and see if they're interested.
If you were to do that, then that would be ideal for me. I'm trying to kind of just be, being a person that likes to be from the outside mm-hmm. and likes to throw stones at things, I'm trying to kind of minimize that, but at the same time, I want to be true to myself, and I just feel like if the local interest is such an important part that I just would feel much better.
We'll do it.
Do that.
Okay.
So we're suggesting we send it to the board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody good with that?
We made the full circle, but it's
good. Policy map, is that where we're at?
Yes, sir.
At least make sure. Mm-hmm. I gotta get back on page here. Yeah, okay. Policy map.
So there's some research that was done by our team prior to discussions that we had with a local agency who was conducting a needs assessment. We came across policy map and we requested some additional information on policy map, which is an online mapping tool that provides the user, which as we will be a premium subscriber, allows us, gives us access to 150 public and proprietary data sources with 37,000 different data indicators. The way that we envision this policy map being utilized is through a widget on our webpage where community-based organizations, general public, will have access to customizable maps that would be created through our direction, through policy map. Some of these maps are interactive, they could be downloaded, and we could change them, you know, on our own. We could create very specific maps with different data layers, up to 30 different data layers with 10 point data sets per layer. So we're very thrilled that this is going to be a great tool for local organizations and their grant writing efforts, you know, funding requests, programming, allocation of resources to have them be a little bit more data driven, and also strengthen, you know, the district's role here locally as a leader in health and wellness issues by having access to these different data sets. So right now we're in communication with Policy Map to create a couple of maps that will be presented to the board specific to the region. Once we do sign the premium subscription, we'll be able to access some of the additional features that Policy Map has to offer to a premium subscriber. So we're very happy that, that this is something that internally can be used for our own purposes, but also be a great tool and resource for our community partners.
Okay, are you familiar with the data portal that the county uses?
Shape.
Okay, so you know it then, and what? How is that different from this?
So with the Shape, I think here locally we won't be able to. Policy Map allows you different sets of tools to get really specific Coachella Valley data sets. Through their mapping tool, there's a little tool that you can use to kind of map out, drop little pins, and then connect them to get specific data sets. We could do data sets of the whole Coachella Valley. We could do data sets of the eastern part of the valley, selected cities. We do congressional districts. So it's a really, really comprehensive tool that I don't think there are comparable tools out there right now that we have access to locally. You know, just given the fact that we have, that it'll have 150 different data sources and 37,000 different data indicators from different you know, organizations, governmental entities, etc.
So how is it different from, you're saying that SHIP doesn't have that, those capabilities?
No, I think it's very limited in those capabilities. This will give you a little bit more enhanced in some of those
And it does not include a robust list of the different data sources that PolicyMap would be utilizing to create these interactive maps for us.
Okay, so you've done a comparison, and there's things that this would do that SHAPE doesn't do. Have you also compared it to the Live2Rise portal?
We have looked at some of the capabilities of the Live2Rise portal. The Live2Rise portal uses anywhere between 10 and 15 data sources, where this one will use 150 different data sources. Also, the user-friendly list and the downloadable features in the Live2Rise portal are very limited. And also, Live2Rise only uses census tracking, where here we could do city-specific, we could do region-specific. So it gives us a little bit, like I said, it's the Live2Rise portal is it's great for its intended use, but this is going to be a little bit more comprehensive, and it's going to allow us to use more features that the current Live2Rise portal currently has.
Okay, I don't think the dollar amount is the big thing for me. I think what it is the fact that it's duplicating something that I would rather us be working with other entities to come up with something that could be used by more than one entity. Mm-hmm. And if this is it, then why is Live2Rise doing the other thing? To me, I'm disappointed that that there's not more collaboration. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that that's the way we should be doing things. I wouldn't support this the way it is. I'm not comfortable. I understand what you're saying, but maybe if I could have a comparison of the three that we've just discussed right now,
correct,
and we could see how there could be better collaboration, and then I would feel more comfortable with it. But right now, I think that we're doing things independently, and that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to break down silos instead of creating them for the long-term future. Mm-hmm. So can we study this a little bit more?
Definitely. We were going to bring that level of information of comparison board along with some maps that were going to be created, some customizable maps that were going to be created for us from PolicyMap to show that, and also give you guys a demo on at the board to kind of see the different capabilities of all. And that will include SHAPE on there as well, so you guys can see the different capabilities of all three platforms and how user-friendly they are and some of the different features that each of the three different platforms will be able to use.
Okay.
And just to clarify, it's not something that we're going to be using just internally. Once we embed this map, that we'll have a customizable map on our website, it would be available to any community-based organization. And we could also work with those community-based organizations if they have very specific data needs that they would like to gather, because we would have, you know, the pretty much like an admin user credential that we would be able to kind of get those specific data sets for our community-based partners.
Okay, I see this as a building block.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to build the final product that I want to see is that we are the healthcare orchestra leader for the Coachella Valley. And this is such an important piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the message that we're sending is, are we doing this on our own, or are we doing it as a community? And I don't think that we are, by saying, okay, we've looked at the others and here we're going to choose this one, that to me doesn't say that we're doing it as a community. As we position ourselves to go after a grant that is going to be a planning grant that's going to be for, you know, the next 20 years or so, I think that we need to be more collaborative and more inclusive, and this doesn't, we need to slow it down and get to that point where it's more community oriented. And if it's the final product, then why aren't other people using it? Why wouldn't they use it? Not using it, past tense, but why wouldn't they use it? and that we actually do provide a tool that can be duplicated, and so that a Clinica Salud Pueblo wouldn't have to invest money in something.
Correct.
They could just use it themselves.
Yeah, and it always will make their work a little bit more efficient by focusing on just the analyzing of the data versus worrying about the collection of it.
It may very well be the best product, but I just don't like the fact that we're at this point, just making that decision without seeing it and see how we can bring other partners on.
Yeah, and that's why we put it as an informational item on the agenda, so you can kind of start the conversation.
Thank you.
I've been looking at the county one, and I can't pull up Live to Rise because I probably have the wrong website. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm probably not the right person to be doing this, but I was trying to get at what we're after, and I'm not in a, you know far more about these than I do. I don't, which would be the best and for what reasons. It's compelling. You're going, hey, we're already using something. And whether it's because it's the county, that's why we should use it, or because of the quality of the data. And I haven't even seen the operation side by side, so I'm not really in a position to judge. With that said, though, if you guys, sounds like you get kind of a lukewarm response here. I don't care if we see if you can get a better one.
I was at the.
Well, you're not enthusiastic about it.
No,
is that
I want it to be. I guess, yeah, maybe it is lukewarm.
And by the way, this is your field. You know a lot more about this than I do.
I don't. I trust them a lot more than I trust me, because when I attended a community meeting for the county in Moreno Valley, and I always hate the fact that they always do these meetings over there, like have them out here once in a while.
Yeah.
I think you were probably there. And that with the presentation that they gave us, I was very impressed. But I didn't go in there thinking what is the strength, what is the weakness. I didn't go in with that mindset. I was there just to observe and to learn. And but now that I'm in this position of assessment, I would have liked to have paid more attention to those things that I would have said, okay, I really like that, or I don't like it. Because I also see this as a possibility, if we are going down this road, that we have the opportunity to shape it, to say what we like about it and what we see that we don't like about it. If there's 115 or 150?
150.
That could be overwhelming data sets that we're looking at. So what is it really that it's going to be, what is strength? What is gonna attract more? So I think you have the opportunity to really have input, so to learn what some of the other ones that are out there, I think would be helpful to help us as we are approaching this as a tool.
If I could, for SHAPE, they more like track indicators related to like Healthy People 2020. They're not a mapping tool, so they do like health-related diabetes for adults, and they kind of show you the trend. If you pull up a city, it'll compare it to Riverside, it'll compare it to the Healthy People 2020, and give you graphics that way. This one is more of a mapping tool.
They also did mapping. But again, I just remember it from
a
distant memory. They don't do it? Okay, good.
So it's not exactly apples to apples. They're both data, and they're good in their different ways, but I don't know exactly how we could compare it.
Okay.
That's just a little bit of my...
Okay, well, like I said, I know you know a lot more about it than I do.
So I think that, since the only comparison we have left is with Live to Rise, their data portal is not intuitive. It's very hard to navigate. I don't know. I think the staff who works on data should chime in and say what they experience as data users using their website. I haven't been able to see anything that is really meaningful when we go to Live to Rise. because the data sets that they have are very limited and restricted to a point in time. When we compare that to this platform, we're talking about constant trends because they continuously collect data, and it will give us the ability to embed the maps that we create, because we will provide input to have maps that are specific to Coachella Valley, to have it on our website and become a repository of data that the public can come to our website and use for grant writing, for many other activities that we will be providing for free to our community members. So that's what we saw. It was a valuable project at a very, very low cost, because $5,000 is a minuscule amount of money for the tool that that they're offering. I actually had the opportunity to have lunch with Heather yesterday, and we talked about their data portal, and you know, one of the comments that she has is that it's very difficult for them to maintain that portal. So that makes us think that the portal that they're using is very expensive, and understandably, it's coming from USC, which is the actual portal is USC, it's not Lift or Rise. Those are my comments on that.
Okay, I know that that it is expensive, and this is one of the things that they have struggled to be able to finance it year in and year out. And in the past, that was one of the requests that they made to the district before I was on here. So I didn't have a conflict. This is why I think that's how we could support the work of Live to Rise, which is the development of processes that will allow for future housing and addressing the root causes of homelessness. So if that was one way that we could do it, by collaborating on a product that would be that would serve both needs. But you're saying that they're committed to that product that would be fall short of this.
I think they're committed to their platform. I think the platform was created to address the housing issues that they work on. So it's limited.
I thought it also had health. No?
It has some health indicators, but imagine they have 15 indicators that's what they use, and some of them address health because, you know, health is an important result of poor housing, but their portal is very limited.
So you've already made the comparison, then one thing that I could walk away from this meeting then is that they're not, that Live to Rise could possibly benefit from this thing.
I think they will benefit from having these maps available to them. I think the entire community will benefit from a lot of data analysis that can be done through this. And one of the things that we anticipate by having the ability to embed these maps in the district website is that, number one, it will increase the visibility of the district among the nonprofit organizations and the public. It will also provide an opportunity for policy analysis and advancing public policy briefs and stuff like of that nature.
The policy analysis for $5,000?
No, it's not that they will do policy analysis for us,
okay.
But we can create maps that will inform the development of policy analysis. That some nonprofit organizations in Coachella Valley want to advance their mission by doing policy analysis.
I know that's one of the things that I remember from early meetings that USC actually does with their portal, and maybe that's why it's a lot more expensive, if they actually do analysis of trends and so forth. But if there's, if this is just informational, that would help me to go back and have that conversation with them to get them to, because I want them to succeed. Okay, for selfish reasons.
We too want them to succeed.
So if they're spending $90,000, I'm not sure how much it is, but I'm just throwing out there, if they're spending $90,000 on data a year, then when there's another tool that they could use, that even if it is a district, which is, I would say as a plus, that they're collaborating, they're partnering with the district on this, then that's how we could support it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm going to go back.
It's going to be free for them to use it. They don't have to sustain it.
Why would you spend money when it's something that's available for free and you're partnering with them?
Yeah.
So that's something that I would walk away from this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it would give them an additional 135 different data sets that are not currently on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be just Live to Rise. I know, you know, with, you know, like clinical disability platform, like you mentioned, you know, them trying to access, you know, health-related data has become really difficult because, you know, we get Riverside County specific data sets. We rarely seldom do we get Coachella Valley data sets. So with this mapping tool, we'll be able to create a boundary around the Coachella Valley and extract data from these 150 data sources that are specific to the Coachella Valley. And then us in turn could work with our community partners, you know, on their specific data needs to create some of those maps that Conrado was mentioning.
Okay.
To help them, if they're looking into childhood obesity, we'll be able to look at childhood obesity rates within the Coachella Valley and do comparison studies to other regions. So I think it's gonna allow us.
So you could make comparisons to Riverside, or urban areas. You could make it to states.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we could do, one of the features that I like is that little mapping tool, because we could say, well, how could we compare the east, you know, there's no data sets, how we could compare the east and the west side of the valley. Well, with this data set, now I could select the cities in the east part of the valley and compare them to the cities of the west side of the valley. So it's gonna allow us to get really, really detailed data sets that I think currently through, you know, the Live to Rise portal, we're not able to get. So it's not, you know, it's gonna be a benefit to us, you know, for the reasons that I mentioned and Conrado mentioned, but also working with our community partners as, you know, as a true partnership with them in their efforts to you know, their grant writing, efforts to say, well, we could help you with the data collection or interpreting the data, you know, by creating some of these maps specific to whatever grant they're writing to.
So you would have that service in-house to be able to interpret the maps and provide some analysis?
We will be able to take that information and create custom maps for the organizations as they're asking. So yeah, so we'll have a public-facing, map, interactive map on our website, but then we would have access to the 150 data sets. Versus the one that we could put on the for the public facing website, it only has 30. And we would be able to create and select what those 30 different data sets and indicators are.
And if I am a nonprofit and I want to apply for a grant, a health grant, I could go in there and get the data and attribute it to the healthcare district, and that would be perfectly fine.
Yes, because that was one of the questions that we asked PolicyMap. Would we, outside of the Desert Healthcare District, can other organizations utilize, the data sets or even some of the credentials, you know, with this subscription, we're gonna have 10 user credentials. We could use, you know, 4 or 5 of them in-house here and then identify community partners that might be able to utilize the other 5 user credentials. Let's say Live to Rise, we could, you know, work with them and provide them with one, user credential. We could work with Borrego Health and, you know, provide them with another one. Clinica de Salud del Pueblo, Desert Ace Project. So, you know, the partnership is there because it's not just gonna be a tool that we'll be using in-house. It's something that we wanna share with the public and make their data effort collections a much easier and much more streamlined so they could really focus on the work of, you know, of what they're writing the grant for.
I just want to make sure that it's clear that this is aggregate data. It's not like we can download these huge data sets. Like, it's like, I know that on Lift to Rise portal, every time I have tried to download the data, it's very, it either doesn't load, but the odd time it does, it's very long in statistical, it's hard to read. So it's those data we can't get. It's like all aggregate data. So I can touch like the census tract or the zip code and it'll pop up like a percentage or a number.
Mm.
So it's like we can't do intense statistical analysis or anything. I just want to make sure that's
okay.
That's clear. But it's also this, like, I feel like in our era, we're very visual. So when we have these maps to show, and Policy Map is actually going through a upgrade in early next year, they're going to do 3D mapping and things like that. So to be able to show visually some of the points we're trying to get across, whether it's a board member or the staff that are presenting certain things, it'll be a really nice visual tool internally and then to community organizations.
And we could also upload our own data set. So, you know, that's another great feature, that we could collect data and then upload it ourselves, and it'll become part of the 150 data sets that are generating these, you know, these data sets for us. So it's,
well, I like what I'm hearing. I really think that this is very informative to learn more about it. And I still would like to see that comparison to pretty much summarize what you've just shared. So that way I can communicate that to people that I'm trying to communicate this to. I know that a few years back I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could have something, you know, I thought, you know, Esri, who is such a data expert, that I remember attending a conference a couple of years ago and thinking, oh, that they have the capability, but they just cost so much money, why, you know, but, you know, there's, I think it is a necessity to have a product that you can use for data and it can be shared, then I definitely think we'll go in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And another great feature is that you could use trend lines. You could do comparison from 2010 to 2020, and it'll give you the change of how that particular health indicator has changed over within those 10 years. So that's a really, really nice feature.
I just think that you're telling me so many good things, I'm just wondering what are the bad things.
Right? It's only $5. There must be something.
Yeah, there has to be something.
No, you know what, we actually made it, and I have a call with a representative tomorrow morning to kind of get a little bit more questions and ask questions and hopefully get answers to some of them. We did email that rep, and they did, provided some answers for very specific questions that we have. Can other people use it? Can we share our user credentials with other entities outside of the Desert Healthcare District? So they were very informative. So tomorrow we're going to have a phone call with them to kind of get more information to bring to you, to the rest of the board. That's why we just placed it as an informational item and just make you guys aware of what we're currently working on.
So it would go to the board as an informational item as well?
I think...
Or will we come back here for more information? Then take it.
We're going to take it to the board.
Okay, so that's going to go as
a... And have some maps that we can use as an example.
Yeah.
Well, I love the fact that it would be shared so that you could get input. That's why I was wondering if it was going forward as an informational item. Because I would like for it to be, you know, started to be shared.
And we'll also do I'll do a live demo at the board meeting, so you can see it. It's very hard to kind of talk about, you know, digital platforms without showing you on a screen. So at the board meeting, we will. And then maybe we could do a side-side comparison with the Lift2Rise and Policy Map there, so you guys can see the different functions that they both have to offer.
Also, I don't know if you don't want to just pick on someone, but maybe you could, if you have more than one, like Lift2Rise and the county shape.
Yeah. I'll look at a different databases to document.
No, there is a community stories.
Oh, California Healthy Places.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well done. I have been looking at maps while you...
That's great.
No, I try to compare them back and forth, and I don't have a policy map.
We could get you some great maps on death rates.
No, I got I have pretty good data. Great. I think we can adjourn that meeting. Can we be good?
Right.
To the foundation. foundation. Good. Let's call the meeting in order. Approval of the agenda.
So moved.
All those in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Public comment? Nothing. The minutes of September 10th.
So I move approval.
Second. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. CEO, care to say anything?
Nothing.
Thank you. The financial reports.
I move approval.
Wow, second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And we had the audit report kind of already.
Yeah, so just
so we've acted on it.
Action to move it forward to the board.
Yes, we're going to move it to the board. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any reason not to adjourn?
None.